Hello and welcome to a very important but also a little bit pessimistic edition of the Roughing the Kicker Chiefs podcast on Blog Talk Radio and AirheadAddict.com. I'm Joshua Briscoe, and today it's all about the Chiefs and the Broncos. On Sunday Night Football, the game was flexed to prime time, and that's actually been bad news for the Chiefs for a little while now. The prime time record, not great, but Sunday Night Football, the biggest lights going to Denver, and the Chiefs are going to have not even close to their full array of weapons. But that's what we're here to talk about today, is how can the Chiefs go to Denver this Sunday, Sunday Night Football, and win there, get back into at least second place in the division with a tiebreaker advantage over the Raiders. How can they do that without Dee Ford, without Jeremy Macklin, without Jay Howard, beaten down by injuries, going up against a healthy Broncos team? I think the Chiefs have a chance, but a few things are going to have to go very, very right. First things first here, if you haven't listened to the last episode of the show, I encourage you to go back to Alex Smith Still Isn't the Problem, being the title of that episode. I encourage you to go back to that episode and give that a listen, because it breaks down my opinions on the Chiefs' offense, the state of where it's at right now, where the blame goes, where the Chiefs go next from that. I'm assuming that most of you have listened to that already. If you haven't, though, you can go to iTunes or any place you subscribe to podcasts. Just search for Roughing the Kicker. It's Alex Smith Still Isn't the Problem. Or go to blogtalkradio.com/RTK, and the archive shows are all right there for your enjoyment. With that being said, and now assuming that you've heard my takes on the offense from the last episode, let's talk about how the Chiefs can go to Denver and escape with a victory. The winner of this game has the record advantage and, of course, now the first tiebreaker against each other for second place in the AFC West. But if the Raiders were to lose this week against the Carolina Panthers in Oakland, then it would be for first place, at least for the Chiefs to win, because the Chiefs have the tiebreaker advantage over the Raiders right now. But both the Chiefs and the Broncos are 7-3. The Raiders are 8-2. All three teams fighting for playoff standings and for a playoff spot. One of these teams is obviously winning the division. We could see a case where both of these teams win wild card spots, but we've talked about this in the past. It's so important, in my mind at least, for the Chiefs to have a chance, not only at a bye week, but at least for the home field advantage in the first week of the postseason. So in case you didn't know beforehand, and I haven't convinced you yet, this game is very, very important to the rest of the season for the Chiefs, because the schedule gets difficult, and it probably gets the most difficult. It's been, at least this is the hardest stretch, probably for the entire season for the Chiefs, and this game is very important. If you told me in the beginning of the season, well, they'll lose in Denver, but win at home to the Broncos, that's what I would have expected. I would have been fine with that. But one thing that I didn't expect, though I did think the Raiders would be a real contender, I did not expect the Raiders to be 8-2 and then to have the Chiefs and the Broncos both be at 7-3. A 7-3 Chiefs team does not bother me one bit. In the context of the AFC West right now, I am worried because the Chiefs just lost to the Buccaneers. They're going to Denver, then going to Atlanta, then have a quick turnaround at home against the Raiders, and then the Titans at home, Broncos at home at the Chargers. These last 6 weeks here for the Chiefs are going to really test who they are. And they're going into it very, very broken here. It was announced Friday afternoon that the Chiefs will be going to Denver without Dee Ford, without Jeremy Macklin, and without Jay Howard. Dee Ford is a legitimate Defensive Player of the Year candidate, which is an incredible thing to say, but it's completely true with no sarcasm at all. He's probably the second most important player on this defense right now, or at least he was up until his injury. Maybe Justin Houston's return has mitigated that a tiny bit, but if at all, barely. Dee Ford is hugely vital to this defense, and the Chiefs were struggling to get pressure whenever he was still in the game against the Buccaneers. Jameis Winston was doing a fantastic job of staying tall in pressure and not actually getting taken down. But the second half was disastrous. And it was also with no Jay Howard. The Chiefs at this point have lost both of their defensive ends. Alan Bailey's out for the season. Jay Howard was out last week and this week. Kendall Reyes was questionable. In fact, here's the list of guys who are questionable for this game for the Chiefs. Marcus Peters, vital. Steven Nelson, very important. Dontari Poe, vital. Derek Johnson, vital. And Kendall Reyes, a guy who's going to be starting on the other side of Chris Jones. The other side of Dontari Poe, opposite of Chris Jones. If Dontari Poe is playing. Raheem Nunez-Roches had a nice game against the Buccaneers, at least in the first half. But the Chiefs' defensive line depth can only run so deeply. That's not just a lot of names that are injured. That's a lot of really impactful players. And let's start with these. I, before the show here today, I wrote out a bunch of conditions for how the Chiefs win this game, or at least for how they don't win this game. I want to break them down one at a time here. Here's the first one. If Justin Houston isn't Justin Houston in this game, the Chiefs aren't winning. And I don't even mean just like effective pass rusher. I mean ruining Trevor Siemian's day. All day, just harassing him for four quarters. And I don't know if that's fair to ask. Houston played a lot of snaps last week, but he was completely ineffective, and he was doing a lot of dropping back into coverage, which you have to do as an outside linebacker sometimes, but for the Chiefs, a Chiefs defense that was getting absolutely no pressure, I think Justin Houston's going to have to be that bold, underscored Justin Houston that gets read out over the PA in the stadium. Although, in this case, you know, in Denver, probably wouldn't be going, Justin Houston, whatever, you get it. We're going to have to see Justin Houston take a big step up here, which may be completely unfair, but that's the case. Because, from my mind, we're not going to see that from Tom Bahali. The best thing Tom Bahali can be right now is, this is the best case scenario, is that he's consistently kind of holding his own, and then once every 15 snaps, really gets to the quarterback. That's what he's become right now. He won't get embarrassed in the run game. He's too smart. He won't get embarrassed across the middle if he has to drop back into coverage. But he's also not going to be the kind of harasser that Dee Ford was the last couple of weeks. And I still can't believe I'm saying it like that, but I am. Justin Houston has the potential still to be that guy. And I guess to hedge on that one just a tiny bit, Justin Houston can be just a somewhat consistent pass rusher if somebody else really takes over to get to Trevor Siemian. But Dontari Poe has not been a consistent pass rusher this year. He's held his own in the middle. Chris Jones gets there every once in a while, but it's different because we see it's Chris Jones, so we're really excited whenever he does show up in the backfield. You can't lean on him, in my mind. And then Kendall Reyes or Akinia Zarochez? That's not exciting. Maybe Bob Sutton says, all right, Trevor Siemian, beat me deep. And he just brings Ron Parker or Eric Berry or Daniel Sorensen all day long. And the Chiefs are just almost constantly blitzing a safety. I wouldn't hate that at all. I would rather see Trevor Siemian win that way than win by a death of 1,000 cuts and getting a ton of short stuff because he got pressure. Or he has no pressure. And he just waits for guys to get open for 7 yards. I wouldn't mind seeing Bob Sutton be very aggressive, and I guess I'll go ahead and write this prescription now and say Bob Sutton needs to be very aggressive in this game, unless Justin Houston takes over. If Justin Houston takes over, the Chiefs have a very, very good chance of keeping this game competitive. But if he doesn't, if he's not take over the game kind of Justin Houston, then the requirement of getting to Trevor Siemian falls to somebody else. And right now, looking at this injury report, I don't see anybody else doing it right now. So if Justin Houston isn't Justin Houston in this game, I think the Chiefs aren't winning. Next one. If Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce don't have big games, the Chiefs aren't winning. And I mean both of them. Because Alex Smith has looked a little bit lost without Jeremy Maclin, which is kind of ridiculous because Jeremy Maclin wasn't good before his injury this year. I mean, Jeremy Maclin has been... Can we say he's been bad? He's been ineffective before his injury. He was ineffective. He was kind of limping along. He didn't play with a lot of energy. He had that one hurdle that was really nice. But beyond that, I can't remember a single play where it was like, oh, Jeremy Maclin. There he is. He would slide for some short passes, and that's about all he got. So Jeremy Maclin had struggled this year. In fact, his highest receiving yardage game was 78 yards this year. That was the loss to the Steelers. Completely meaningless yards and a completely lost game. The most catches the most yards he had in a win. His second. Listen to this. His second highest yardage game was the loss to the Texans. 68 yards in that game. 78 against the Steelers. 68 against the Texans. After that. Week one, he had 63 against the Chargers in the comeback victory. Then he hasn't broken 50 yards receiving any other game this year other than the Steelers' loss, the Texans' loss, and the win against the Chargers. Hasn't broken 50 yards. Two touchdowns this year. More than 50 yards only in two losses and in the comeback win in week one. Or you could even just say, since week three, Jeremy Maclin broke 50 yards receiving one time. That's horrendous. That is ineffective, and he was targeted an incredible number of times against Houston. Actually, 15 targets, 6 receptions for 68 yards in that game, and that was by far his high-end receptions. 10 targets against the Colts, only 3 receptions, a 30% catch percentage, averaging 4.3 yards per target. I mean, Jeremy Maclin was ineffective. He was ineffective when he was around, but Alex Smith has undeniably looked lost without him. Sorry to just beat on Jeremy Maclin there for 2 minutes, but it's shocking. But Alex Smith seems like he needs him. Well, he doesn't have him again, and I don't want to see those targets that you would usually go to safety blanket Jeremy Maclin go to Alberta Gator Arms Wilson. I screwed up my own joke. Alberta Gator Arms Wilson. It's his new name. Pretend they got it right the first time. Wilson has too many problems in his entire game, and he's not in any way the matchup problem that at least 3 or 4 other guys in this offense already are. Back to my original requirement here for this game. If Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce don't have big games, the Chiefs aren't winning. Jeremy Maclin is not there to be a safety blanket anymore, but those two guys are. Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce, I think in most cases, have earned Alex Smith's trust. Kelce has some drop issues. I think he dropped 2 touchdowns this year. One of them ended up turning into a field goal. Don't remember what happened in the first one. He's had some drops, but he's also one of two trustworthy playmakers on this team. I'm not excited to see the ball in anybody's hands in the passing game other than Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce. I'm excited when Spencer Ware gets it out of the backfield. He's a running back. I think of him differently. But those three guys, those are the only playmakers on this offense right now, which is discouraging because Chris Conley was a pretty high draft pick. He's not developed into anything particularly useful. Jeremy Maclin got paid big. He was not a playmaker, and now he's hurt. The rest of those tight ends cannot catch. Charkandrick West is fine. Jamal Charles is hurt. And Alex Smith is not going to make big plays with subpar skill position guys. That's the whole reason that they went and got Jeremy Maclin, while they're investing in the talent around him. He can use good talent, usually, but he can't make poor players into Pro Bowlers. That's what Peyton Manning did. That's what Tom Brady does. Tom Brady makes Julian Edelman, Randy Moss. Not actually, but you understand my point. Of the guys, and my next condition for the Chiefs, if Spencer Ware doesn't get the ball often, the Chiefs aren't winning. So now I've included the three offensive playmakers. Those three guys have to get the ball constantly in this game. If Alex Smith needs to convert on a first down, I trust both Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce to convert it. Kelce actually has the bigger drop problem. And when you think about Tyreek Hill, not just because he's a rookie, but because he's a small guy, you think of him either in the slot or running down the field, down the sideline. You don't think of him, at least I don't think of him, as a guy that went running 7-yard slants across the middle. And I don't, because he could die by being hit by a bigger man who's moving like a semi-truck. But if you're in a pinch, I trust Tyreek Hill to get separation from a defender, to give Alex with a window, and then to catch it when it gets there. Tyreek Hill is not just a talented, fast guy. He's a talented receiver. So get him the ball whenever you need to. Alex Smith needs to stop pretending that Albert Wilson is his safety blanket now. It's Tyreek Hill, it's Travis Kelce, it's Spencer Ware. Those are the three most trustworthy guys, and they're the three guys who can actually make plays. If those three guys don't all get the ball plenty, if they don't all have big games, or if at least two of them, if one of them doesn't have a big game, maybe they can slide by, but if two of those guys don't have big games, I'm giving up on it. The Chiefs are not going to win without getting those three guys the ball plenty of times. I could argue right now that all three of those guys need to have touchdowns in this game. And all three of them can make their own touchdown, too. This is one thing with this offense, which I just beat on so much in the last show. And I meant it, and I still stand by everything I said there. But this offense, with those three guys, can make up their own points. If you give the ball to Hill and Ware and Kelce enough, eventually those guys are going to score, even if Mitch Morse is having a bad day. I hope that makes sense. Like, they can overcome some shortcomings if Alex Smith can just get the ball to them a few times. Eventually those guys are going to create their own big plays. You hit Travis Kelce across the middle for 6 yards. Do that a few times. Worst case scenario, you got an incompletion. Don't throw a pick, please. But you got an incompletion. Then you pick up 6 yards. And then he takes one, and he's got some space in front of him. He turns it up for 35. That's just how being a playmaker in the NFL works. You think Tyreek Hill in space doesn't terrify other defenses? Of course it does. Aqib Talib and Chris Harris are great. Neither one of those guys can keep up with Tyreek Hill. Now, with a deep shot down the sideline, Alex Smith also has to make a play. Alex Smith has to complete those passes, and he's done that with some decent accuracy lately. Even just last week, the one pass out that ended up taking Tyreek Hill out of bounds was good for a big chunk of yardage, but it wasn't a perfect throw, but it was good for a big chunk of yardage. The throw to Travis Kelce was 100% perfect. Smith can make those throws. Smith had, and also last week, Smith had more good throws than bad ones, but we're talking about this being the end of Alex Smith because of that one bad throw that Andy Reid mandated. Whatever. Get the ball to those playmakers and let them make the plays. It's 100% has to happen. The Chiefs are not winning this game by Alex Smith going to Albert Wilson 12 times. It's just not going to happen. My next if-then statement. If the offense stumbles in the red zone again, like I did on that sentence, if the offense stumbles in the red zone again, then the Chiefs aren't winning. Against the Broncos, this is completely mandatory. You have to score touchdowns when you get close enough to score touchdowns. If you watch the night game on Thanksgiving, if you watch the Colts and the Steelers, the Colts are playing with Scott Tolzien at quarterback because Andrew Luck was hurt. He has a concussion. And they were at the 2-yard line or the 1-yard line on 2 separate drives. And on 3rd down and 4th down, they went for it both times. On 3rd down and 4th down, neither time did they hand the ball to a running back. I think they had 3 passes and a designed run for Scott Tolzien. Or Tolzien just tried to run it and didn't get it. Actually, maybe twice. I think Tolzien ran it in twice and got stopped twice. If you're on the 1 or 2 yard line on 3rd down, you have to score. And the Colts did the right thing by going for it. I do not for a second think they should have kicked those 2 field goals. Because the difference between 14 and 6 points is so gigantic in the NFL, especially whenever you're overmatched, as they were with the Steelers' offense on the other side. You just have to convert those points. And the Chiefs are kind of, in my in the way that I've seen them play, in the way that we've all seen the offense play out these last few weeks, the Chiefs are playing in a perpetual state of, well, we're outmatched on offense, we've got to score now that we're here. Really, anywhere on the field, if the Chiefs are at 4th and 2... you know, anywhere past midfield, if it's 4th and 2 or 4th and 1 or God forbid 4th and goal, you've just got to go for it. Or if you get within the 10 yard line, if you get in the red zone at all, you cannot leave there without 7 points, especially against teams that are this much better considering how many injuries that the Chiefs have right now. Both of these teams are healthy. You give me the healthy Chiefs and the healthy Broncos and put them on a neutral site, I'm taking the Chiefs straight up. Put it in Denver, I'm getting a little nervous, but I'll probably still take the Chiefs. But with the way that the Chiefs are going right now, with a totally questionable pass rush, that's totally just up to Justin Houston being healthy or not, and being in football shape and being good, which we don't know any of those things yet. With no Jeremy Maclin, which makes Alex Smith skittish, and Alex Smith, a quarterback who seems to be leaking confidence right now, with neither of your starting defensive ends that you had at the beginning of the season, maybe with a limited Marcus Peters, Steven Nelson, Dontari Bowe, Derek Johnson, and Kendall Reyes, the Chiefs are playing from behind right now. I'm recording this show on Friday night. The Chiefs are already down by a touchdown. Does that make sense? And that's the attitude Andy Reid has to have offensively. The offense cannot stumble in the red zone again. They've got to stay aggressive. But if they get to the red zone, if they get inside the 10, if they get inside the 5 and leave with a field goal again, they're not winning on Sunday. They're just not. It's just not going to happen. And if they go for it, and it's 4th and 2 from the goal line, or it's 4th and goal from the 2, and they go for it and they don't get it, even that isn't the worst possible thing. And I'm saying this now before it inevitably happens, because then what? Then the Broncos have to go 98 yards. Well, if you've got any pass rush, if you have any run defense, if you have any faith in your corners at being able to turn a heaving deep ball into an interception, then you've got the Broncos pinned back, and they're giving your defense a chance to make a big play. I don't mind that. I certainly would rather have that. Maybe, what is it? Is it 50-50 for the offensive score from the 2-yard line on fourth down? It shouldn't be. It should be 75-25, but we'll go ahead and say for the Chiefs, maybe it's 60-40. I would rather have those odds than a touchdown or have a touchdown and then kicking back off to the Broncos compared to not scoring any points and giving the ball back at the 2-yard line as opposed to getting a field goal, 3 points, and then kicking it off and letting the Broncos start on the 20. Those 18 yards of field position aren't worth it. But it's nice to keep the Broncos pinned back and gamble for those 4 extra points. It's going to matter. It's going to happen consistently, and it's going to drive me insane whenever the Chiefs settle for a field goal. Got to be aggressive in the red zone. Have to convert. Another condition here. If the Chiefs' secondary doesn't make Trevor Siemian's day miserable, the Chiefs aren't winning. And I mentioned just a second ago having a secondary that can make big plays. Good news? We know the Chiefs have a secondary capable of doing this. They did it to Peyton Manning, and they've done it this year. They've won games this year this way. They didn't do it last week against Jameis Winston, though. Marcus Peters was not in the game. Obviously the biggest playmaker in the secondary. The best ball hawk in football, maybe? On the defensive side of the ball? Maybe. But they got no pass rush. And by the end of the game, the Chiefs were down to Kenneth Acker and Ron Parker and some mix of Philip Gaines and Steven Nelson. Both of them were banged up and in and out. The safeties were invisible. Barry Parker and Sorensen did nothing all day. And maybe that's because of the pass rush. Maybe that's because they had a bad day. Maybe it's because Winston was just beating them. But the injuries ravaged the Chiefs there. And the injuries aren't getting a whole lot better, but it sounds like Marcus Peters should be back. The secondary is going to have to turn Trevor Siemian over, and I think they're going to. I would be very surprised if Trevor Siemian has... I would take the over on 1.5 Trevor Siemian turnovers in this game. I think the smart money would be on just 1 straight up. And if it's over 2.5, maybe if the Chiefs get a strip sack and a couple of picks, I think the Chiefs are sitting pretty. That was a strange sentence. I think they're sitting relatively pretty in this game. If he doesn't turn the ball over, if Siemian keeps it safe, the Broncos can run the ball a little bit, and he's getting the ball to the playmakers just enough. Demaryius Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders are converting just enough first downs, as they always do. And then the Broncos are going to win at home. It's going to be an ugly Sunday night. But the secondary has the capability to make those plays, and in this case, it's going to have to be Marcus Peters, going to have to be Philip Gaines, Steven Nelson, Eric Berry, Ron Parker, Daniel Sorensen, guys who have all made big plays this year. They're going to have to all be able to come to the game and do that. Another thing, if the Chiefs can't change their fate on third down, they're not winning this game. This somehow might be the most obvious of all of these obvious statements, but I'm going through them this way on purpose. Give me time. We're 24 minutes into the show. If you're listening this far, you've apparently already bought in. Thanks for listening, by the way. If the Chiefs can't change their fate on third down, this game's over before it starts. The Chiefs' defense has not been able to get off the field on third down. All season, really. The last couple of weeks have been the most egregious. And the Chiefs' offense has not converted third downs at all. It's been absolutely brutal. And that has to change here. Again, it's one of these things that's just simply not an option. The best case scenario, maybe the Chiefs can win around that if the defense scores 21 points. I'm not betting on that happening. Well, the defense and special teams have a great day, then what? Then you've still got to convert on that final drive, not give the ball back to the Broncos? Psh, come on. The defense The defense has gotten, I think the defense is fifth in the league in points allowed, which is great. I think they're 25th in yards per game allowed. That's insane. This is an example of it. They give up a ton of third down conversions, a ton of yards, but whenever it gets to points time, they've held up. Somehow they've got to be able to convert that last-ditch effort stop to keep a field goal, to make a field goal out of a touchdown. They've got to be able to bring that energy into 3rd and 7, 3rd and 1, 3rd and 25. The Chiefs defense has to get off the field on third down. The Chiefs offense has to convert those. And like I was just talking about with Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill, if it's 3rd and 7, that should not feel impossible. Watch any NFL team with a good offense, with a mediocre offense. How many teams in the NFL are worse than the Chiefs at third down conversion? I think it's like two, actually, statistically. But just run through your mind. Run through a couple of NFL teams who feel completely hopeless at converting 3rd and 7. There are not very many. The freaking Browns have Terrell Pryor, who's one of those guys that feels like if you get the ball into his hands, sure, he can take it for 9 yards. That's within his ability. He can do that. And the Chiefs have that too. The Chiefs have that with two guys, at least, with Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill. But there's such a wonderful trend of 3rd and 7's a handoff that doesn't make it, or 3rd and 7 hits Demetrius Harris in the hands for 4, or 3rd and 7 hits Albert Wilson going to the sidelines for 6, and then they punt on 4th and 1. And the Chiefs can't settle for that. They have the ability to beat this Broncos team, but they've got to do these things. Justin Houston has to be Justin Houston, or at the very least, the pass rush has to exist again. Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce and Spencer Ware have to have big games. They have to get the ball often. The offense cannot stumble in the red zone again. They have to be more aggressive. They have to convert third downs. They have to stop the other team. They have to stop the other offense. They have to stop the Broncos on third down. The secondary has to ruin Trevor Siemian's day. But I think the Chiefs can do all of those things. In fact, I know they can. I know the Chiefs can do all of those things. But it's been a real long time since we've seen them do all of them in the same game. And I truly think that we're going to have a really hard time on Monday or on Sunday night, on Monday, on Tuesday, looking back on this game and going, man, I can't believe that Justin Houston single-handedly changed this game. I don't think that'll work. I don't think just Justin Houston or just Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce or just Spencer Ware or just some more aggressiveness or just getting off the field on third down, I don't think any of those things by themselves can win this game. We're talking about the Chiefs going to Denver facing a really good defense and a middle-of-the-road offense. Trevor Siemian is very flappable. The run game is not as good without C.J. Anderson, who's on the IR. They've got some great weapons on the outside with Thomas and Sanders. I feel okay about the Chiefs' healthy secondary dealing with those guys. The pass rush has to get there to make it, you know, a fair fight. I'm not afraid of Trevor Siemian. I was more afraid of Jameis Winston by a lot. I was more afraid of Blake Bortles, honestly, dead serious, than I am of Trevor Siemian. He's going to make mistakes, but I don't think the Chiefs can get away with doing any just one of those things or any just two of those things. At the very least, of those 6 things that I mentioned, the Chiefs are going to have to do at least 3 or 4 of them. And they could do 4 of them and still lose this game. But let's talk about the defense here in a different way. Even without D. Ford and without Jay Howard, but even especially without D. Ford, which is amazing that he's like my biggest concern on this injury report. Even without D. Ford, I don't see this defense collapsing like it did in the last primetime game against the Steelers. The defense has made great strides since then, and even though it's so, so depleted, I think it's going to look a whole lot better on Sunday night than it did last time. I mean, they just gave up 19 points to the Buccaneers without Marcus Peters at all. I think they're in better shape this week. You can say you prefer the Broncos' offense to the Buccaneers. That's probably fine. I would certainly prefer Jameis Winston to Trevor Siemian, but I would prefer Demaryius Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders to Mike Evans and whoever else that Jameis Winston was throwing to last week. I would prefer Doug Martin over whoever the Broncos are giving the ball to the most right now. I should probably know that. Sorry. I think I might take the Buccaneers offense personnel wise right now. You want to take Gary Kubiak? You want to take his offense over what the Bucs are putting out there? That's fine. Okay. I think it's pretty even, though. I think it's an even comparison. And they gave up 19 points to the Buccaneers. It was at home, and they lost. But I'm not terrified of the Chiefs giving up 24 points to the Broncos right now with the return of Marcus Peters. The Chiefs defense is in a better place this week than it was last week, realizing that Dee Ford missed the majority of the game last week. I'm more optimistic about the defense right now. And the Broncos are 14th in the league in points per game. They're averaging 23.9 points per game. Okay, I said 24. That was a guess, but 23.9 points per game. That's 15th in the league. Points per game. The Buccaneers are 16th in the league, 23.5. By the way, the Chiefs are 19th with 22.2. I'm not sure how that's still possible. These are comparable offenses between the Bucs and the Broncos. And the Chiefs held the Buccaneers to 19 points. I don't think it's unreasonable at all to expect 17 from the Broncos. Then again, it goes back to the offense. And even if the Chiefs do give up 24 to the Broncos, putting them right at their normal points per game turnout, they're probably losing. They're probably going to have to hold the Broncos under 20. But if the offense, against a pretty good defense, but if the offense will just devote itself, if Andy Reid and Alex Smith will devote themselves, or maybe I should start having them be one unit. What do I have? Is that Alex Reid? Alex and Andy? Andy Smith is too boring. If Alex and Andy, as a unit, devote itself to getting the ball to Hill, Kelsey, and Ware, this offense has 24 points in them. If they can get the ball to the playmakers and be aggressive and don't wait till the end of the game to move the ball quickly, don't wait till the end of the game to speed it up a little and to get the defense back on its heels, push the ball before it's too late, before you're thinking about an onside kick afterwards. If the Chiefs adopt that pacing in the first quarter, like they did it against the Colts, this offense absolutely still has 24 points in them. The fact that the offense has been this bad for this long, that's the real inexplicable thing, because you can look at it and go, all right, they don't have a ton of talent here, but they have enough. The Broncos aren't going to be able to stop all of these playmakers. Scoring 17 against the Bucs, 20 to the Panthers, 19 against the Jags, those are the last three games, and those are embarrassing point totals. And those are, not shockingly, are the games that the Chiefs have gone without Jeremy Maclin. Before Jeremy Maclin's injury, they had scored 30, 27, 26. Jeremy Maclin's not coming back. Tyreek Hill has emerged. Travis Kelce is still a top-tier playmaker on this team. Spencer Ware demands the ball. Get the ball to those guys. And yeah, this is probably the best defense the Chiefs have faced this year. But it's not a completely game-changing defense. It's no better than the Chiefs' defense. It's really not. At least when healthy, I guess. Maybe it is now because they're about to put out a tackling dummy at left outside linebacker. Or right outside linebacker, I guess. Whenever Tom Bahali just dies. But this offense absolutely has the firepower, has the talent in a few spots to score this many points. We talk about the Broncos offense as it has some explosive potential. We talk about the Broncos offense as something that can simply outscore the Chiefs, because even with a defense that has held up so well since the bye week. I do this every week, but again, points allowed 10, 21, 14, 14, 17, 19. Giving up more than 20 points one time since the bye week. Why do you think that the Broncos can do that? Oh, because they got playmakers? They have Demaryius Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders? Okay, then what? Devontae Booker? That's all I got. Because Trevor Siemian can turn the game around? Because Virgil Green is better than Travis Kelce? Why would we think the Broncos offense is in any better shape than the Chiefs are? The Chiefs are nowhere near an elite offense. Nowhere near an elite core of talent. Not even in a conversation as to elite talent on the offensive side of the ball. But they can stack up to the Broncos right now. Emmanuel Sanders and Tyreek Hill can do a lot of the same things. Which is insane and sounds like a homer thing, and it's not. I'm dead serious. Demaryius Thomas and Travis Kelce can do a lot of the same things. Spencer Ware is a much better running back than any of the guys the Broncos have filling in for C.J. Anderson right now. They're starting Donald Stevenson at right tackle. Russell Okugle on the left side is going to make Tom Bahali miserable, but we're going to have Justin Houston against Donald Stevenson. I'd take Mitchell Schwartz, excuse me, without a hesitation. The Broncos' offense is not bringing anything to the table the Chiefs aren't, but I think universally people would look at the Broncos and say, I don't have that offense right now, because the Chiefs has been so anemic. It's been so anemic because of coaching, I guess. That's the only place I can find to put it. Because the talent is there to be good enough to be as good as the Broncos' offense is. I would take Alex Smith over Trevor Siemian, still, yes, don't tweet me. I mean, do tweet me, at JB Briscoe, but not about that, please. Don't tell me you'd take Trevor Siemian over Alex Smith. I don't want to hear it. Unless you have good reasons, and then fine, I guess tweet me, JB Briscoe. Just follow me, also. I want to talk myself into picking the Chiefs here. I really do. And I feel like the more I talk about it, the closer I get. But I'm back at the point that I was at after the Steelers loss going into the Raiders game, I guess. I think that's the only Chiefs game I've gotten wrong other than the Buccaneers game in a while. I might be wrong on that. But I was wrong about the Raiders game. I said I'd pick the Raiders because I needed to see something from the Chiefs that I hadn't seen yet. I needed to see them go blow for blow with a good team. I needed to see them create offensive rhythm like they did in the second half of the Chargers game. I needed to see the offense produce while seeing the defense bounce back from the Steelers debacle. I needed to see it. And then I saw it against the Raiders, and we saw it against the Saints, and we saw it against the Colts. Well, then after Nick Foles beat the Jags, after beating the Panthers in a game that was totally won by the defense in the fourth quarter, and then after losing to the Buccaneers and scoring 17 points, I need to see it again. I'm back at that place that I was at. I need the offense to reprove itself to me. Last time I said that, they did. And I want to talk myself all the way into picking the Chiefs, but right now, that's where I sit on it. I have to be pessimistic. I have to be skeptical. I have to be cynical about what this offense is capable of because it's been so long since we've seen it. And we haven't seen it at all without Jeremy Maclin on the field, which, again, is insane considering that Jeremy Maclin has produced so little, and he doesn't demand some incredible coverage. He's not some giant physical matchup threat at this point. I think he's a nice possession receiver. Whatever. You can probably hear me roll my eyes there. A couple other things about where the Chiefs are at right now. The Chiefs have won 7 consecutive AFC West games, which is bizarre. They lost the Broncos last year, and they beat the Broncos once, and then the Raiders and Chargers twice last year, and then got the Chargers and the beginning of this season, and then the Raiders victory this year. 7 AFC West wins in a row for the Chiefs. But from Matt Derrick, just to totally fight that stat-wise, obscure stat-wise, Matt Derrick said, Chiefs Andy Reid's bye week record is celebrated, which is true. His Thanksgiving week record is spotty, 8-9 all time, lost 5 in a row before a win last year. I don't know if that matters at all. I just thought it was kind of a funny stat. Also, the Broncos are coming off a bye and are playing at home. That's no bueno. For a while this season, teams coming off of a bye and playing at home were undefeated. And that got broken a couple weeks ago, I believe. That's a huge advantage for the Broncos. Coming off a bye, huge game at home, Sunday Night Football. They have all of the intangible. The Broncos have all of the intangible benefits here. They're coming off of a week of rest with an entirely healthy team, except for their long snapper, who they signed a replacement for him, being Thomas Gafford, actually, former Chief. Everybody else is playing. for the Broncos. They're coming off rested. They're coming off 2 weeks to prepare for the Chiefs, not just a way to beat the Chiefs' defense, which I don't think they'll be able to do particularly well, but to beat the Chiefs' offense even more than it's been beaten by the Buccaneers and the Panthers and the Jaguars. They've had time. They've had 2 weeks to study that while also getting healthy. The Chiefs, on the other hand, are about to go into their first matchup with the Broncos this year without three important players, one of them being absolutely vital to the defense, one of them apparently being absolutely vital to Alex Smith for some unknown reason. And then a starter, and then Jay Howard, who is perpetually underrated. So the Broncos have every intangible advantage right now. And I think the Chiefs can do all of those things where I say, if this, then this, or if not this, then the Chiefs don't win. I think they can do that. I think I've talked myself about 30% into the Chiefs for this game. I think they have like a 30% chance to win in Denver. I really do. But I'm back to where I was. I'm back to where I was after the Steelers game going to Oakland. I'm back there. I'm back at, okay, Andy and Alex, show me. Show me something. Show me that this offense can take some heat, can take some criticism. Show me that this offense is better than what we've seen the last 3 weeks. Because in the NFL, more than any other sport, it's about what you've seen lately. It's about what you know most recently. You can say the Chiefs have the potential to play a game like they did against the Colts. Because they've done it. That's nice. You can have that knowledge. But it's about what you've seen most recently. That's what the team is most likely to continue to be. It's why teams who get hot late in the season are so deadly in the playoffs. It's why teams who back into the playoffs usually have a real big target on their back. The NFL's a streaky league, and the Chiefs have got to turn their offense completely around. And the big change that happened 3 weeks ago was that Jeremy Maclin left with an injury against the Jags, and since then, it's been bad. Alex Smith did have the concussion also, though, before that game, so maybe that's it. Maybe you can say the Chiefs' offense has been bad since Alex Smith was not concussed. Since Alex Smith's ear laceration. Maybe he's shaking out cobwebs. Maybe Alex Smith's going to show up on Sunday night and turn into Terminator mode. We'll see good Alex Smith again, who's unafraid to run the ball, who's taking deep shots and hitting Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce in stride. Maybe that's it. Maybe him having a week off was detrimental. Maybe him just getting bashed in the head twice was detrimental. I don't know. Maybe that's it. Maybe the offense is broken and no one knows how to fix it. We don't know. And since we don't know, I can't trust it. I can't predict it. I tried not to do too much predicting in general on the show other than like the final game predictions. I would rather say, here's what it's going to take to win, not here's what I think, because I don't know. We don't know what's going to happen. We can't even predict with very much accuracy. Sometimes I get close on the scores. Those are projections based off the knowledge we have. And right now, the projection based off the knowledge that we have about the Chiefs' offense is that for the last 3 weeks, it's sucked. So right now, I think the Chiefs' defense does its job pretty well, and the offense falls short. Give me the Broncos 20-13, which, yes, 13 demands two field goals settled for, which I'm sure I'll tweet about. 2013 Broncos, that's my guess. That's my guess for this week. I have done a lot of talking into a microphone this week. I think I've done 4 podcasts and like an hour and a half of live radio at 8:10. And I couldn't do it, and I don't know if I would do it if it wasn't for you listening. So as Thanksgiving has come and gone, I will say I am so very grateful for the audience that has followed me and this show for a little while now, and with the most gratitude towards everyone, a special gratitude and a special shout out to the people who support this show at patreon.com. At patreon.com/RTK, you can support this show every month with a little bit of money to support me financially and help make these shows twice a week as often as I can, and certainly making mega shows every week if possible. This week, though, I think I'm going to have like 2 hours of just straight ranting into the microphone about the offense, now the Chiefs win in Denver. So I think this week you got your money's worth. The $20 group has been carrying the torch here for a long time. Ty Declare at Ty Declare 44, Andy Simpson, Randy Singh at Randy underscore Singh underscore, Ray Hines at Big Turf Guy, Derek Vaughn at D underscore Vaughn 88. Those guys are all given $20 a month to support this show at patreon.com/RTK. Also, the $10 group, Christine Roadlander at C Roadlander, and Todd Sullivan at Tito Solovino, and the $5 group, Josh Beadle. I cannot thank those people enough for supporting the show financially, or thank you enough for sticking with the show to give me a reason to keep making these shows. Being able to interact with all of you guys on Twitter at JB Briscoe is the easiest way for me to do that. Being able to interact with you guys throughout the week, especially on game days and everything, is a true joy. And I'm very, very thankful that you have chosen to listen to this podcast with your valuable time trying to get a little bit more heroin for your Chiefs fix. I appreciate it so very much. As I started to do this show today, I had written down those six things the Chiefs simply cannot allow to happen or simply must do to win in Denver. But beyond that, I was starting to wonder, how is this show going to fill out, you know, the 30 minutes it's going to take to really be able to have a substantial preview show? 45 minutes later, thank you for listening to the Rough and the Kicker Chiefs podcast on blogtalkradio.com/RTK at arrowheadaddict.com. Subscribe to the show if you haven't already. I'm Joshua Briscoe. I'm on Twitter at JB Briscoe. Always wanting to hear your takes and takeaways after the game. Those will be open after the Chiefs play in Denver on Sunday night. I think the Chiefs have a chance. I think it's about a 30% chance. And I think the Chiefs can do all of those things that I said they must do to take this game. But at this point, if you're skeptical, you can join me in our cynicism. And we can demand once again, hey guys, show it to us. It worked last time. Maybe I don't say it like that though. A little bit uncomfortable. Thanks for listening.
Excuse me, sir, but could you drop the bass?